You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Reading this morning comes from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, and Iran is going to read it from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4, and it is the creation story.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were created together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And so every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Thank you for that reading, Iran. Now is the time for our second hymn. Hymn number 14, The Beauty of the Earth. Please stand if you are able. Doing my training for the pastorate, we were instructed to only sermonize for 10 minutes. You should be able to say everything you want to say in 10 minutes. I mention this as I only have a short talk this morning. In the reading this morning, we heard the story of God making the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh. Some people believe this story to be the literal truth. I was surprised one day when talking to an educated woman who had a PhD in medical science that she believed this story to be true. Naturally, I said, "How can you, as a scientist, believe in this story?" She didn't reply. But of course, she wasn't alone in believing this story to be literally true. Many fundamentalist Americans believe this story to be literally true, and there have been court cases in America over whether this should be taught in schools alongside science. They also believe that the world was made 6,000 years ago and that dinosaurs lived with humans. The trouble is that people take the Bible to be the literal truth. They say things like, "It's in the Bible, so therefore it must be true." The Bible speaks of spiritual truth, not scientific facts. So the Bible must be taken in a spiritual or figurative sense, not in a literal sense. The early Jews believed that God made the heavens and the earth. But when Christianity came along, not everyone believed this. This came to a head in the early Christian church with the Gnostics. They reasoned that a God of love could not have made this imperfect world with all of its pain and suffering. So they reasoned that another God must have made this imperfect world with all its misery, and this other God they called the Demiurge. The idea of the Demiurge is quite old and was part of Plato's philosophy. It has been believed for thousands of years that the God of heaven made everything that exists, yet people today still believe that God didn't make everything. I was surprised one day when I mentioned the concept of the Demiurge to a friend of mine who said that he didn't believe that God made the world either, for the same reason as the Gnostics believe in the Demiurge. Even today, people still believe that God did not make all that there is. As an aside, I came across the website of the Spiritual Satanists. The author of the article on Satan said that Satan had said that he was the Demiurge. Satan may have made the demons and hell, but I don't believe that he made everything that there is. Although many religious people believe that God made everything, some non-religious people don't believe this. They believe that there was nothing in the beginning, and from this nothingness came matter and antimatter, and from these two substances everything was made. I don't have any problem with the universe being made from matter and antimatter. But if there wasn't anything in the beginning, where did matter and antimatter come from? So religious people such as myself say that God made matter and antimatter. The reason why scientists believe that matter and antimatter was the basis of everything is because of background radiation. Also, space is several degrees above absolute zero, which is -273 degrees Celsius. Some people reason that God could not have made everything in 6 Earth days, but there is a scripture to cover this. It is found in the book of 2 Peter in the New Testament. It says in chapter 3, verse 8, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and that 1,000 years are like one day." So they reason that God took 6,000 years to make all that there is. There are several anomalies in the story we heard in the reading. The first one was to do with light. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Let there be light." And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Yet the sun and the moon are made on the third day. If there was already light, which had been divided into night and day, why did God have to make the sun and the moon? It seems incongruous to me. I don't know what Christians or Jews think about this, but when I was doing my training, I was taught that the first 10 chapters of Genesis were myths. In fact, Pete's commentary on the Bible doesn't give any explanation of the first 10 chapters of Genesis because they are myths. The next problem we have is that the plants were made on the second day. However, plants need sunlight to survive, yet the sun was made on the third day. In verse 26, we have the words, "Then God said, let us make humankind in our own image according to our likeness." Let us take the first part of this sentence, "let us." There are several problems here as the Jews believe in one God, which is called monotheism, yet it says, "let us." Who is this other God or gods? They are not mentioned. Perhaps there was a mother goddess. But of course, Christians have an answer for this. They say that this other God was Jesus. Jesus was not mentioned by name, but there he was at the very beginning. This is also found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 onward, and I quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being." Although the Bible says this, I don't think too many theologians believe it. The Word, of course, refers to Jesus. Perhaps the writer of the text or the editor used the royal plural and is not meant to infer another God when he said, "let us." The second portion of "make humankind in our own image" has perplexed Christians for ages. How can we be made in God's image? Does God have a human body? Many years ago, before I began my training, when asked about this, I answered this question by saying that only our souls or spirits are made in the image of God. God, after all, is a spiritual being. Having now pointed out the flaws in this story, perhaps there is another reason why this story is in the Bible. Most people miss this, as they are bound up with the story and don't see the purpose behind the story. We read in the Ten Commandments, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, the words, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son and your daughter, your male and female slave, your livestock or the alien resident in your towns, For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The Jews were only allowed to work for 6 days, and the seventh day they were not allowed to work, the reason being that they were free people, not slaves. The seventh day was a day of rest. Saying that it was the Sabbath lends authority to it so that they wouldn't work. What can we gather from the reading this morning? There is a multi-purpose behind this story, as with many myths in the Bible. The first purpose is that God made all that there is. The second purpose is the installation of the seven-day week. This is the main purpose of the story, the seven-day week. If it was good enough for God to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, then it was good enough for us humans. As these myths in Genesis are mostly based on the stories of the time in which they were written, we can assume that this story was based on another story or stories. Quite a few early civilizations had creation myths. Even our own indigenous people had creation myths. However, it is thought that the Bible creation story is based on the Babylonian epic called Enuma Elis. For the origins of the seven-day week might go back to the early Egyptian times, when the Egyptian god Osiris had to be worshipped every 7 days. A number of stories in the Bible seem to be based on Egyptian myths, so it may be true. Although it is more likely that the origins of the seven-day week go back to Babylonian times, when the Jews were enslaved by the Babylonians. The Babylonians had a seven-day week. After the Jews had been in Babylon for some time, the Persians conquered the Babylonians. The Persians were good to the Jews, but they said that to have a recognized religion, they must have scriptures. So the Jews wrote their scriptures in about 600 BC. Until this time, the Jewish scriptures were only short statements. So the Jews took the stories of the time and made them their own. May God add his blessing. Please remain standing for the benediction. The benediction is in part from the booklet This Day. Let us go forth with new strength for the week ahead, devoted to the love which heals all wounds and to the courage that casts out fear, full of hope which never dies. And may the Supreme Being, whether you perceive the Supreme Being to be Father, Mother or Metropater, bless you and keep you, guide you and lead you, until we see the Supreme Being face to face. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.